When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Confused Breakfast Podcast.
Whoa.
I just said you should do that, and my brain goes, "Yeah, you should do that," and then
you did it.
Okay, anyway.
I'm okay about it.
I liked it.
Welcome to the Confused Breakfast Podcast. On this podcast, we review the movies that defined the 80s, 90s, and 2000s for us as kids. But you really can't talk about the defining media of your formative years without talking about the rest of pop culture. On our mini episodes, affectionately known as Mini Bites, we dive into some other aspects of childhood that must be explored. On today's fun size conversation, and after some urging from our Patreon members and Facebook page followers, we're going to talk about one of the best kids shows of the 1990s Nickelodeon era, The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Woo!
It's mighty strange. You look at happily.
So we're going to do a full deep dive nostalgia overload on this amazing show. But first, we got a little bit of housekeeping. You know what we like to do.
Oh,
so this is from Nick. It's called Nonstop Nostalgia Trip. Hey, gents, I downloaded the Apple Podcast app just so I could give you all a 5-star review.
Woo, you're going above and beyond.
Yes. You guys are awesome, and listening to the pod not only is a fun trip down memory lane, but your charisma and charm makes it feel like I'm sitting down with three of my old friends talking about the shows and things we grew up with. I love the fan theory section that shows up. I love that you guys are informed without being pretentious. Gonna use the most overused phrase in podcast reviews. Thank you, and keep up the great content.
Hey, man. Thanks a bunch.
Pretty nice. Oh, sorry. P.S. As a kid, the badge episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark scarred me for years.
Yeah.
I'm 36 now and enjoy horror movies, so I decided to go back and watch it. Still scary.
Wow. Yep. Okay, I'm going to have to go check that one out again.
That was the one that AJ was raving about back from the Are You Afraid of the Dark episode.
Badge and the Vampire Hospital one.
Yeah.
Night Shift. The Night Shift.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Too spooky.
Thanks, man. That's really nice of you to say. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, if you don't want to be over
man
and above,
or woman, I don't know.
We don't know. Niche. It could be Nicole. We don't know.
Yeah.
If you don't want to go above and beyond like this last user did, where you're downloading the Apple Podcast app just to give us a review,
amazing.
You can also do it on Facebook. Joel Schneider, I'm currently listening to Harry and the Hendersons, and I've got to say, you three are killing the 80s, 90s movies and TV reviews. I look forward to seeing each new episode. It has become a part of my Wednesday morning routine. Keep up the good work. Your number two staff pick, second only to Dane.
That's he right.
Joel was our second patron.
Wow.
Before we even knew if people were going to like us.
I recognize that name. I see you out there. I see you shaking that ass, man. Yeah.
So yeah, leave us those reviews. It really does mean a lot to us. And
thanks,
speaking
Joel.
Of
appreciate
Patreon,
it.
You can join ours just like Joel did. You can get on there. Tons of amazing perks to show your support for us. You can vote on upcoming movie topics like people did today.
Mm-hmm.
And you get access to the weekly episode that we record just for Patreon members. Patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. These are our favorite people. Would you like to hear them?
Yes.
Dane, Joel. There he is.
There he is.
Tony B, Jordan, Nick Marula, Alicia, Camden Griffith, Francisco Rivera, Cameron J, Kirlana, Big Andy, Bud Larson, Anita Richard, Travis Hunziker, Brian Hernandez, Nick Fulkerson, Cale James, Senior Frog, Mr. and Mrs. Roommate, Greg Jackson, Jason Davis, Daniel Skaggs, Emilio Perez, Skylar Brunson, Jordan Hooten, Brenna Meisner, Willie Cox III, Janelle Lewis, and Joseph Thomas.
What? Wow.
That list.
That
we may have to revamp the Patreon tier.
We're going to have to like have a title scroll instead of saying, and I don't know how that's even going to work.
We need to do like the thing like where they do the fine print at the end of like medical commercials.
We should hire the guy to just read them off really fast. We absolutely love you guys on Patreon. We hope you are enjoying the extra content we're giving you. If you want to check it out, go there. But last but not least, before we get into this, you're going to really like this. So we do have a voicemail that you can call. It's 319-804-9596. People have been calling. They've been leaving messages. But I got a special one for you today. This is actually Danny Tamborelli and Michael C. Marona, themselves.
No way.
With a special message. Let's listen to it.
Mike, are you ever confused when you run into another guy named Mike, especially when you're eating breakfast?
Yes. Yes, I am. it's an extremely common name, and it happens all the time. Huh. Thank you for asking, Danny.
Well, I'm only asking because this guy, Mike Schultz, has a podcast called the Confused Breakfast Podcast. And the...
What's the name of Mike Schultz's podcast again?
It's confusing, but it's called the Confused Breakfast Podcast.
Uh-huh.
So if you're getting tuna fish sandwiches and bacon and eggs confused, this is the podcast for you.
Might be something you want to check out. Mike Schultz... Breakfast is confusing. No.
That was confusing. No. Said it wrong.
The Confused, a breakfast, a podcast.
Now, not in Italian.
Okay.
Those fine young gentlemen. Wow. They have, okay, so backstory here, right?
Yes,
they
have this show.
They have an amazing podcast called The Adventures of Danny and Mike. Have you listened to it?
It's on LPN Network. It's the last podcast. It's my favorite podcast, and they're on that network.
It is so great. I've been listening to them for a long time, and I recently signed up to be a Patreon member.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, I just really like these guys. I want to support them. And so I was chatting back and forth with them about some of the perks. They're like, oh, we can mail this to you. And so I let them know about the podcast, and they were really into the idea, and they wanted to leave us a funny voicemail intro type thing, so they did that. And obviously they got my last name wrong, but that a lot of people say my last name wrong if you don't hear it in person, like Schultz. Yeah, well, that's how it is. But they've since, and this was about a month ago or so, and they said that they're enjoying the podcast and actually pumped to hear the episode.
So
these dudes are amazing. Obviously if you're here because of Pete and Pete, you got to support these guys. They're incredible. Their podcast is amazing. The Adventures of Danny and Mike, tons of nostalgia, Pete and Pete cameo and stuff that. It's amazing. So huge backlog. Go check them out. And we appreciate those guys.
That's awesome.
Leaving us a little voicemail. Yeah,
thank you guys.
Amazing.
I am. I'm considering me starstruck.
Yeah. Wow. I feel like there's so much more pressure now. On like
you picture them listening to this episode.
I'm like, oh yeah. God, okay,
gotta double check my notes.
Okay.
If Danny Tamborelli is actually listening to this, I would like to say that I enjoyed your spots on the Roundtable of Gentlemen podcast way back in the day.
There it is.
And anybody who listens to Roundtable of Gentlemen. So
cool. Well, let's dive in. So, a question for you guys: did you watch The Adventures of Pete and Pete as Kids?
Yes,
you did.
I did not.
Sean, you did not.
I did not.
What it was, it just, you just didn't watch the Nickelodeon era type stuff, or you just didn't get into the show?
I don't know. I've never seen it, and I never I knew it existed, and I knew it was in the zeitgeist of Nickelodeon 90s nostalgia. But I think it was mostly just like cartoons for me. And like Are You Afraid of the Dark and the after school stuff.
What about, so you did watch this, AJ?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Were you a fan of it? Like, was it a big awesome show for you?
You know, it was one that I watched because it was on Nickelodeon, specifically.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, so it must be for kids. It must be for me. And like, there are times that I like loved it. And then there were other times I was like, I don't want to watch Pete and Pete right now. I wanted to watch cartoons or something. But the biggest thing for me about Pete and Pete, and what I realize now rewatching it a little bit, was how they take the things that you think about as a kid and how big everything seems to you, and how over the top and how surreal life feels to you as a kid. And that is why I just love it.
I was a huge fan. It wasn't probably my favorite. Like, it was top three, top five shows, you know, but I was like, Salute Your Shorts and Hey Dude. It's like, yeah, these are my shows.
Yeah.
But like, Pete and Pete was always a good one to watch, but I didn't go completely out of my way to watch it. But the crazy thing is like, going back now, which is what we're going to do here, is now we're watching it as adults, like, did it hold up kind of thing?
Yeah.
It was so much deeper than all these other shows.
Totally.
Like, getting older and going back to watch this hits completely different than Salute Your Shorts and Hey Dude does. So Salute Your Shorts and Hey Dude are the Three Ninjas, right? And then Pete and Pete is the Breakfast Club, right?
Yeah,
where they actually get better with time, where some of these other ones are like, nah, that didn't that's not as cool as I remember it.
Yeah. It is. Like, the other, like, Hey Dude is a lot of, like, slapstick and, like, oh, no, all these pies fell on me. Dang it. Not while I'm riding the horse. And, damn, dang it. And so
it's very true.
That's like what it was, and it's just like while he's wiping cream out of his eyes.
He's at it again.
Oh, dang it! And
but this, you're right though. This is more is like this hits you on an emotional level. Yeah, on some
it definitely does. It does. You nailed it. Like, I mean, this is Mike lent us some DVDs of this to just rewatch and everything like that. And I think you can watch a lot of them on YouTube, which is cool.
Yeah, you can definitely see most of them on YouTube, I think.
But. Yeah, but watching this was just like a surreal kind of experience, as well as like the show being extremely surreal, like dealing with like how you said, like kids' situations blown out of proportion. Like, because it's like you're seeing these things that may be minimal to these characters. Yeah. Explode in their head. It's like you're seeing it through their head, and it's so great. I mean, like, all the surreal moments was, I was just kind of taken aback by it. Like, fuck, this is impressive. I loved it.
Well, let's break it down like we like to do. Let's talk about the history. Sean did a little research. Yeah. Like, let's bring everybody back up to speed on the history of the show.
Cool. Yeah. So, I mean, I got really into this. So the show, created by Will McCraub and Chris Viscardi, started as a minute long shorts that would air on Nickelodeon as interstitials, which are short programming that would be in between main programming in 1989.
And they were really young in those.
So I didn't get a chance to see any of those, but like, it's got to be, it's like the Prometheus and Bob kind of thing. Yeah. If you know that, it would just like in between like main shows, they would have these just like shorts that, and they got really popular. And so from the popularity of that, Nickelodeon ordered 5 half hour specials that were made, followed by a regular half hour series that ran for 3 seasons from 1993 to 1996. So idea birthed in 1989, just going, I mean, having a gestation period for that long, it's kind of cool. The show follows 2 brothers, both named Pete, who take skewed points of view of the often surreal events going on in their hometown of Wellsville. Big Pete is the voice of reason for the odd people around him, while Little Pete often struggles against authority figures and other adults. Through it all, despite their differences, the brothers are best friends.
Yeah.
So we got starring Michael C. Marona as Older Pete, Danny Tamborelli as Little Pete, Judy Graif as Mom, Hardy Rawls as Dad.
He's great.
Allison Finelli as Ellen, Toby Huss as Artie, Damian Young as bus driver Stu, and Aaron Schwartz as Clem, as along with so many other.
Yeah, we'll get into the cameos. Yeah,
so many other cameos and characters that just kind of fill out this town and fill out this show and make it kind of what it is. So.
So let's talk about the characters then. Let's bring them back to life. AJ, you were doing some research about the main character, like that main cast and the good people, the protagonists, right?
The main core, yes. And it's just really based around the family and a couple externals there. Mm-hmm. But you have Big Pete, Michael Marona. I love Michael Marona, by the way.
He's fantastic.
He does. I'm just going to say that in case you're listening.
What's the movie that we're big fans of?
Hackers.
Slackers. Slackers is one of my favorites.
Once you watch where you're going, you skanky ass biatch. But to stop you on Michael Marona, he's a really great actor.
Oh, he's wonderful.
He's so good in this show.
I love how he's doing the monologues and the words he's saying and the flow of it is just fantastic.
After a while, like especially the voiceover and stuff like that, I'm just like, I want him to narrate my life.
I know. Yeah,
fuck Morgan Freeman. I want Michael C. Marona to narrate my life.
I got so comfortable and used to it. I want that.
It's the way he explains things. He's the main narrator. Now, other characters do narrate here and there, which is kind of cool. It's a nice little departure every
now and
again.
The show's so playful, man.
But he is like, I love it, like the episodes that start out with him talking to the camera, even kind of explaining to you, do you remember as a kid, like when this would happen? And I was just like, God, yes, I do.
You're right.
He's really kind of like the level head in the show. He's the ground, right?
Yep.
But he has his own problems. He's like, I love his problems do seem so real with girls or driving or
being
like
popular,
being popular,
school
bullies, and like guys that you just don't get along with and stuff like that.
Being the cart boy or the golf boy,
range boy,
That's it.
I really do like him. And then you have Little Pete, who's Danny Tamborelli, which just. His chops as like a kid actor to me was phenomenal.
Amazing.
And so
usually we like to throw those people out, but
yeah. we hate kid actors.
We do.
Can we replace Danny Tamborelli in every movie
in
with
Santa
kids?
Claus?
In Santa just Claus in Three there. Ninjas. It would have if Danny Tamborelli was in Santa Claus and was Charlie, that's probably the best movie of all
time.
Dude,
I just thought of when you said Three Ninjas, I'm like, that's a fucking great movie.
Oh man.
If Danny Tamborelli, because no, we keep Tum Tum. We like Tum Tum.
Yeah, like Tum Tum.
So we replace okay, ready? Michael C. Marona's Rocky.
Yes.
And Danny Tamborelli is Colt. Yes. And then Tum Tum is Tum Tum.
I love it.
I think we're perfect. Good.
I love
that's
that
a
movie.
Way better
remake
idea.
That.
Yeah. And then Pat Morant.
I almost spit my beer out.
All right, sorry.
can move along.
I love the great thing about the contrast. Now, Little Pete is 4 years younger than Big Pete.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they have the same name. I never heard that in the show. Maybe one of you guys did or something. But I love how him being so much or just that much younger, but everything that he does is like the surreal end of this show.
Yeah.
And like all the problems are wild. He has his own like random radio station, WART, the whore. and like everything he does is like blown out of proportion. Like it's just, that's the only way I can really describe it, I guess.
There was moments in the show where I'm like, I predicted in my head like where this could go, like certain like storyline. I'm like, yeah, this is probably gonna go here, and it's like, yeah, I'm kind of just gonna look at my phone while I watch this. And it was like, no, it took a totally different turn, and then took another turn and another turn. I'm like, this is fucking great.
It's really great writing. Yeah. It so honestly good. Is. Well, yeah, we'll dive it's into some of the episodes, smart. But there's some incredible writing in the show. So it's good. Almost like they made it for kids and adults.
Yeah. Yeah, or they had the brilliance of mind of foresight and just knew the kids watching the show were going to grow up like us. And this means a lot more to me now.
The kids watching it now are probably going to start a thing called podcasts where they talk about nostalgic things. And we want to be in the forefront of that.
Yes. Two of our main characters might start one. Who knows?
You never know.
I love how he is the person in this show that the entire world is his oyster.
Yes.
And he can do anything he wants. As a kid, it's pretty miraculous.
It's my world, and you're just living in it.
That's right. What's funny about this, about the show, is that literally in the credits, they give credits to Petunia,
yes,
which is so Pete's good. Tattoo on his arm.
You know, he's got a big back tattoo as well.
That's of the ship or something like that.
Really? There's a theory out there, and I didn't dive deep into this, that Pete is actually like an old man that they like adopted. He's just an old man that just appears as a young kid.
Yeah, what's the Curious Case of Benjamin Button kind of thing?
Because it's like he went off to war and got all these tattoos and he's got big like potty mouth language that he says.
It says he says the most obnoxious things. He's like the equivalent of pee drinking crap face.
He's Ham Porter, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. You see his big back tattoo when they go to beat up the ocean because they're mad because summer's ending.
Even things like that. Have you ever beat up the ocean before?
Oh yeah.
It's a thing that you do.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
And it's like they just captured that moment.
Yeah.
Of like you go and you try to beat up the ocean. You never win.
No.
You're never going to win that battle, but you have to try.
I want to remake Three Ninjas, but I want to call it Four Ninjas now and have Ham in there as well.
Okay.
Oh my God, dude.
We're just going to keep adding ninjas, I think. Petunia is the tattoo on Little Pete's forearm depicting a prone woman in a red dress. Petunia receives her own credit in the show's opening sequence. Little Pete likes to make Petunia dance by flexing his forearm. And in the series, Petunia's origins are a mystery and a cause of bafflement for Big Pete. In an early Pete and Pete short, it is explained that Little Pete originally got the tattoo as a Mother's Day gift, infuriating his father and causing his mother to faint. Little Pete has a second tattoo of a sailing ship on his back, although the origins of this tattoo are never explained.
I love it. It's the mystical nature of the show. Like, we don't need to talk about that.
Well, even right off the bat, too, when they have a character of a tattoo as one of the main like title cards, is like, you know what you're getting yourself into.
Yep.
You know, and like Very Mom's funny. Plate too. Mom's so plate, I'm
which
sure
is
we'll
coming
get to.
Up. First, we got to talk about Mom, though.
Yeah,
Joyce Wrigley. Hello, Joyce.
Sorry.
Judy Graff. Pete's mother, usually just called Mom. I love that they just, it's just Mom.
Mom and Dad.
It's the kids' world. It's all surreal.
Also, it tends to be more reasonable than her husband, which we'll get to shortly, and is usually like compromising and actually trying to like help their sons.
Yes,
her sons like get done with their crazy things that they're doing. Mom's plate.
Yeah,
mom has a metal plate in her head, and she tries to get radio frequencies and tune things in, and like the plate in Joyce's head, which like Petunia gets its own opening credit via an X-ray. It can pick up radio stations, and in the case of Little Pete's radio station Wart, can also broadcast them. Though it is stated that Joyce got the plate due to a childhood accident, the nature of the accident is never explained.
We don't need to know.
That's right. Don Wrigley, dad. It's just dad. Even in a moment like when he's talking with his their grandpa.
Yep.
And he's like, my name's, it's not Spunky, okay? My name's Dad, okay? Spunky.
Spunky.
Drink that. It's milk.
AJ with the fucking voices.
He
Jesus.
Just got some.
I just love his voice so much. I'm sorry. Known as Dad, he is like most quintessential, right? So he's the guy who uses the metal detector on the beach.
He's a 90s dad.
Dad. He wears shoes with socks and shorts and like white to high socks and stuff.
New Balance.
Yes. Extremely competitive against basically everyone, including his sons.
For the things that don't matter, he's very competitive.
Yeah.
That's 90s dad.
Yeah. He's super passionate about his lawn care, bowling, fishing, and particularly for Old Bob, a legendary striped bass.
Yep.
The last couple I think that are worth mentioning would be Ellen.
Ellen's a big part.
She's a big part of this, and she's kind of got that love interest with Big Pete.
Mm-hmm. It's the perfect. Everybody kind of grew up with a neighborhood girl you were just friends, and then all of a sudden, like, the preteens and the
hormones
teens.
Started
yeah hormone, and you go wait yeah. do I wait what is second. This
are we supposed to kiss?
I don't know. So that it's a perfectly played out scenario in the show that there's a very good friend that they're great friends, but then they will touch on those. There's a couple great episodes we'll talk about later where they'll think they're more than that,
right?
And their relationship isn't focused on that, which I really like. It's mostly just them being friends and like being like cohorts together, and I really like. It wasn't like, oh, I have girl problems this episode. Nope. You know, it was mostly just them as pals.
Yeah,
she's great because she does have her own little like weird quirks and stuff like that too. And I love how like she'll be like a go between for the Pete's sometimes, and then she's like really big into like Greek wrestling and like all this. I don't know. It's just really weird. But and then last but not least, you have Artie, the strongest man in the world, and.
He was only on there for two seasons.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And then there was a two-part emotional goodbye farewell, my little Viking, where he left. To go be a superhero for another kid.
Yeah.
You know, like I've raised you, little Pete, and I'm moving on.
Right.
Let's talk about Artie because I wonder if there's any differing opinions. I think Toby Huss is amazing, and I think the things he makes me laugh out loud. Some of the movements that he makes, like when he goes sideways on the football,
which can't be easy. Holy shit, dude!
And just the way the things he does, like when it's the Nightcrawler episode and he's dancing to the Krebstar radio. Like, I mean, that's a kind of a tough part to play, right? You're wearing this weird outfit and the tight pants. You know, you can see some ween in there every once in a while.
You can hear in there. I'm just like, get away from that child.
Yeah. It's weird that you're still around him.
I love it, but I wonder how that, like, I wonder if you could do that today. Does that feel weird? Like, if a show came out today and there's just this guy who's a superhero with
I think
little
it'd be
kids.
Hard to do. I think, like, Toby Huss, like, when I watched this, when I started watching this show, I had never seen it before. I texted our text group, and I was very angry with Artie.
for preface, you'd never seen this
I'd
before.
Never seen
now
it.
You're in your 30s going, wait, what the hell?
He kind of got under my nerves at first, and then I started warming up to him.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. Like, it was just like, it was just like the character your dumb friend would do in middle school, you know, and it's just like, yeah, he's still doing that. You know,
he's still doing that character.
Still acting like Ace Ventura or something like that, you know. But I kind of delved into it because I loved everything about this show except him at first. And I delved into it a little bit, and I recognize him in so many like indie movies that I love, and he's great, and he's in the Halloween remake.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Big movies and little movies here and there, like James Franco's brother's directorial debut, The Rental. He's in that, and he's really good in that. Yeah, just a great actor. But I delved into his history a little bit, and I read that he created this character in Iowa City, where we are kind of right next to. He it was like a theater troupe that he was in, and he created Artie in this theater.
Yeah.
And I think he just kind of auditioned with these guys to be on the show, and he just did that character and like just and do that.
Yes, you're in.
So yeah, it got on my nerves at first, but I kind of warmed up to Artie. I got to admit.
It's obnoxious because you want to keep thinking every now and again he shows you how he is the strongest man in the world, but like most of the other time, like some of his credentials, right? He can skip stones on Neptune. So he can't prove that.
No, nobody can prove that. No, I can do that, I swear.
He can move an entire house by an inch.
Like, maybe.
Again, I guess, like, maybe that's the thing. Like, I don't know. And then he turned Hathead into a jack-o'-lantern and hit a golf ball 300,003 yards among other feet.
3 yards.
So, like, but then you have these, like, really random moments where he tries to, like, help deliver newspapers for me, and he, like, smokes the dude in the chest with it. I don't know, just little things like that. It's really funny to me.
So yeah. So you've got your main cast there, but then you've obviously got the enemies, the antagonists, right?
Yes.
A couple of those. The main one, like the main dude that everybody remembers, is Endless Mike Hellstrom. He seems to be like the bully that everybody remembers. I'm pretty sure he was probably in the most episodes. Endless Mike was mortal enemies with Big Pete. He was an older kid, so he always messed around with the high school guys. I read that Endless Mike, they think his nickname came from the fact that he just kept failing high school. So it was just Endless Mike.
So he's Ben Affleck.
He is, right? Then you had a couple other ones. You had a guy named Hathead. Which I don't remember too much.
Which I gotta mention, sorry, Rick Gomez as Endless Mike.
Yeah.
He's a prolific actor nowadays.
Really?
As well. Yeah, he's in a Band of Brothers miniseries.
No shit.
Which is a really fucking great miniseries. But sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, the one thing to point out is everybody in this show does a really good job.
Yeah, and they all kind of moved on to do some pretty fucking cool things.
Yeah. So then you had Open Face.
Open Face.
Which they called him Open Face because he likes open face sandwiches.
And he had...
Okay. I'm with you.
Open Face sandwiches, and he's making them with weird ingredients like pickled eggs or something like that. And like they just, it's like bad stuff. It's like gross stuff.
And you had, of course, you had Fran Pitstain Jones.
Pitstain.
Pitstain was Little Pete's primary enemy in season 3. He has a glandular disorder that gives him huge smelly armpit stains. Little Pete gave him the nickname, which was quickly adopted by everyone in school, including the teachers. I mean, probably can't do that nowadays.
No.
But so it caused Pitstain to swear revenge against Little Pete. And so that was a big, big enemy there. And then you had another one. Remember Papercut?
Papercut.
Papercut was a boy who grew up in a copy shop. He is covered with lacerations and scars from paper cuts. Paper cut can fold paper into hundreds of origami shapes, including makeshift weapons. Paper cut enjoyed making life miserable for helpless students by forcing them to throw rock when playing rock, paper, scissors. Because he's like, paper covers rock. And he would slice them up with like origami paper.
Yeah. he forced them to do that. And then Little Pete comes back. And
no.
What?
Yeah, Little Pete comes back and he's like, I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing it. And then he throws something else, like it's like molten or something.
Molten rock bomb or something.
like, what the hell is that? Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
But then, so those were some of the enemies. Now we got to talk about the guest appearances. Like, it's unbelievable how many people were in this show just for camp. It's almost like what's like a really popular show nowadays where people just want to be cameos in it? You know, like,
yeah.
It's kind of what this was almost, where these
people...
It was
like Friends as well, too. Like,
everybody just starts showing Frasier, all those sitcoms. People are like, I'll be in it. Yeah. Like, yeah, give me a role, whatever.
Friends was definitely like that.
Yeah. Listen to this. So Adam West played Principal Ken Schwinger. Little Pete always got in trouble with him. Phil Hickel was Steve Buscemi, which was Ellen's dad.
Ellen's dad.
Buscemi.
She made an action figure of him, too, of her dad. Of the character Steve Buscemi's playing. It's so great.
And then, of course, Iggy Pop played Nona's dad, James Mecklenburg. Iggy Pop.
Iggy fucking Pop. And I read that they were just huge fans of the Stooges and Iggy Pop. And I actually, in the show, he references the kids as Stooges multiple times, which I was like, that's awesome. But they were just huge fans of him and reached out to him. And they're like, hey, you want to come on the show? He's like, yeah, I'd love to.
Sure. Sounds good. Come on down.
Like, just ask.
I'll be in a couple episodes.
That's the beauty of that.
So you're saying we can ask Iggy Pop to be on the podcast?
I'm pretty sure we could.
Okay.
Dude, to get that voice on one of these microphones?
Amazing.
Good Lord.
He's using yours. He's not using
A couple more. You had Selma Blair was in an episode. Drew Carey. Ellen Cleghorn, who I loved from Saturday Night Live, was Stu's girlfriend, fellow bus driver. Chris Elliott was a lineman for a power company.
Yes.
Janine Garofalo was a teacher in the X equals Y episode. William Hickey, which is Pete's grandpa, showed up for the bowling ball.
Yes.
That, of course, is Uncle Leo from Christmas Vacation.
Yes. Yep.
Amazing. LL Cool J was one of Pete's teachers. Luscious Jackson, the band, played at the school dance. Alicia Keys was actually a student in the classroom in Tool or Die.
Oh, wow.
Tool and Die. B.B. Newworth, is that how you say that? It was Lilith from Cheers.
Oh, okay.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
She played male Lady McGinty. Great names.
It's like names that AJ would come up with. Well, like Guy McGonagall.
And they're names that you would pronounce wrong.
Yes, yes.
Thank you very much.
That's Guy McGonagall. Yeah, J.K. Simmons was a barber.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. James Rebhorn was a neighbor. And, of course,
dad from Blank Check.
Yes, the dad from Blank Check, James Rebhorn. And then last but not least, Michael Stipe from REM was a rival ice cream man. He was Captain Scrummy.
Captain Scrummy.
To Mr.
Don't
Casey,
you want a fudgesicle?
A fudgesicle?
You
look like a fudgesicle man.
You look like a fudgesicle man.
It's just a really gross-looking fudgesicle.
I don't want a fudgesicle.
Was it Mr. Tasty? Was that his rival?
That was the Mr. Tasty
episode.
That was
Toby Huss as well,
yes.
Apparently, yeah.
Cool. Well, so I want to chat about a couple more things. We got to talk about some episodes and especially the music. But before we get going, I want to tell you actually about my experience the other night. So I own all of these seasons on DVD.
Which you are a rich man because these are out of print and it's like
seriously?
$60 to $80 to get.
No these. Shit. Yeah. I bought these a long time ago. Yeah. Back when DVDs were things, yep. Right? So I own all three. I popped in one of the discs the other night just to like... refresh a little bit. I've been watching these all the last couple months to get ready for this, but I had my Cedar Ridge whiskey with me, right? And I've been messing around making old fashions. I've been doing this for the last year. I'm using the Cedar Ridge bourbon. I'm trying to mess with my ingredients, and I feel like I either perfected it, like that was the night I perfected it, or the combination of Cedar Ridge whiskey with the Adventures of Pete and Pete was perfection, because like it tasted unbelievable. I was smiling from ear to fucking ear watching this show, just going, oh, Molly, come watch this part. Oh, look at Toby Huss. Oh, it's so good.
And like, Molly's like calling 911.
She was. So like, I don't know. Maybe I did perfect it, or maybe it's just the fact that Cedar Ridge Whiskey is unbelievable. They've been so great to us being a sponsor of the podcast. So we really hope you'll do a favor. Check them out. Go to CedarRidgeWhiskey.com. If you're in Iowa or the Midwest, grab a bottle today from your local distributor or store or liquor store or whatever. If you want to order some right to your door, go to the website and browse around. Again, CedarRidgeWhiskey.com. I've become a pretty big whiskey snob over the years, and I hope you can actually tell in my voice that I'm not lying. Like, really fucking love their whiskey.
It's doing a number on your vocal cords. So
do you feel it? It's sultry, right?
Yeah, I do.
You can feel it.
You can taste the whiskey. But honestly, it is some of the best whiskey I've ever had. So go check them out. Drink responsibly. Head over to CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
Cedar Ridge Whiskey.
Cedar Ridge Whiskey.
Which we had some Cedar Ridge whiskey last night after your your show there.
They brought us just a bottle and said, "Here's your bottle."
It was great. I to have a pork Tornado Cedar Ridge Whiskey Pull
yeah.
is an honor.
It pretty
is.
Fun, right?
It's a pretty nice thing to do. Cedar Ridge Whiskey.
I don't
whiskey.
Care.
Cedar Ridge Whiskey. All right, so let's move back in. I really, before we talk about some episodes, I want to talk about the music of this show.
Yep.
Because I think, I do think the writing's incredible. I think the acting is incredible. But how often are we talking about how music and visuals come together to yep. create perfection, right?
Yeah, it's so
and
important.
I really think this show achieved it. I mean, so here's the thing. There was a guy named Stephen Merritt that he was with Magnetic Fields, the Gothic Arkies, the Sixth. He made a lot of the...
You know, those prolific bands?
Yes. Yes. Some people might yeah, know. Yeah, I know. But he made a lot of like the moody instrumental type mm-hmm. music that you hear. But I think most importantly, you got to talk about a band called Polaris. Mm-hmm. They were like the house band of sorts. They're the band you see in the intro yep. that's playing in the lawn. They were actually in Hard Day's Pete, the music episode.
Great episode.
Yes.
I'll get to that one.
They're fronted by a guy named Mark Mulcahy. I'm pulling a Sean. It's hard.
It's difficult, isn't it?
It's a weird name, like Mulcahy. How do you say that? Mulcahy.
Malachi.
Malachi. I don't think it's Malachi.
It is a Hawaiian greeting.
But anyway, you have to go. You can listen to it on Spotify, Apple Music. There is an actual album called The Music from The Adventures of Pete and Pete, and it's all from Polaris. It's near perfection. I don't know how to tell it any better. I own it on vinyl. It's unbelievable. It's like I listen to it probably once a month because, I mean, it does pull that nostalgia a bit from the show. But it's really good. The music is great.
Yeah.
Hey, starts off with "Hey Sandy," and then
"Hey Sunday."
My friend's wife that he married, her name was Kate Sandy. Oh. So he'd be like, "Kate Sunday," and she didn't like that. And then she got a dog. But I think the music really makes this show what it is. It perfectly pulls those emotions that they want you to pull as the show goes on.
It's like when I first put the because they usually do like an intro of the episode first, and then they do like the like introducing you to today's story or today's yep. adventure or whatever, and then they do the title sequence with, yep. with Polaris, and that song is just perfect. Like there's something about this show, about the tone of it, that seems like it's always in fall time.
Dude. Yeah.
And I love that about it. And this song, "Hey Sandy," makes me feel like going on adventures with my friends, like skateboarding around in the fall time. And it just perfectly encapsulates that. And it's so wonderful. It's a perfect opening, perfect song. It's so good.
Yeah. I played it, like when I heard it, but when I popped in the DVD that you gave me and it fired up with that song, yep. I was immediately transported yep. back. It was amazing. I was like, oh my god, yes, I remember the song.
Yeah.
And then they make their cameo appearance yep. in that episode. Which Sean, you brought up, you made a post like the other day, and you said there's nothing more heartbreaking than like you hear a song, and then it's gone, yeah. and you can't hear. That happens in one of those episodes.
They tackle it.
It's literally...
Did you watch that episode?
I didn't get to see that one.
And I didn't know if you were referencing that at that point. And I was like, is he talking about that episode from Pete and Pete? Mm. Because that's what happens to Pete. He hears a song. He's on his way.
Which Pete?
Little Pete. Okay. Is on...
Good reference.
Thank you.
It happens to Pete. Which one?
Little Pete is on his way. He's at his radio station, but he's going to be late for class. And so... because of these series of events, like he's rushing to get to class, to get to school, and he takes a shortcut, and by taking this shortcut, he goes past a band, Polaris.
Garage band.
Okay. Jamming in a garage.
Cool.
And he hears a song, and he's like infatuated with it. And up until this point, Little Pete had never had a favorite song. Oh. He didn't care about it. Didn't care about music, didn't care about any of that. And
that's special.
All of a sudden, he hears this song, and he's just like completely just taken in by it. And it to the point that it makes him go buy a guitar and stuff.
to try to recreate the
song.
Oh, wow.
Cover and, band bullshit.
Yeah. Idiot.
I'll never get you anywhere.
But what a great reference as a kid. Like when you hit that one spark. That's the way I took it. It was that one spark And it was that, it's that band.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm immediately going to go home and watch that episode.
It's a top episode. And again, to touch back on what you said, they take these things we've all thought of, and that was such a big deal as a kid, and they turn it into something. Like, one of my favorites is the Nightcrawlers, which we talked about earlier. That's when little Pete, it's summertime, you're out with your friends, the street lights turn on, you got to come home, it's time for bed.
Yeah.
And he questions that. He says, why do I have to go to bed? And so he gets in this war with his mom where he says he's going to stay up for like 8 days without going to sleep.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I
watched. And so him and his friends stay up, and they challenge that. And it's just so cool, the things that you thought were so important.
Yeah.
That they just put that right into film and say we're gonna explore this deeper. What would happen if I could actually stay up?
See,
all
that
night,
was one, right? of the, that was one of the episodes where it kind of threw me. Where I was like, oh well, the mom's gonna act like this,
yeah,
like the whole episode, and like, no, he challenges her, and she's like, wow, hey, hang on, you know. I was like, she's gonna be the authority figure, yep, the whole way through the episode, but no, it's like she did get challenged by Pete. And I was like, that's really cool, yeah, because like maybe it's only happening in his mind or something, but either, yeah, way, it doesn't matter to me.
It doesn't matter.
It's so fun.
Another good episode, Hard Day's Pete was in season one, so was Nightcrawlers. Another good one was Range Boy.
Yes.
Did you watch that one? Yeah. That's when Big Pete gets a job working at the at the driving range. And he's got to be the rain, and he doesn't want anyone to see him. It's a high school thing. You, yeah, don't want your friends to see you working there,
especially Endless Mike. He's
Endless Mike. Yeah. He puts on the bear costume.
Yes.
Out there, and he's
Bash the Bear or something like
that. Bash the Bear,
and then Little Pete gets it, like starts making merch and everything, like shirts. Bash the Bear, or like uncover, like unmask the bear.
Yes.
Like, whoever hits him is gonna unmask him, and that's like his nightmare. And Ellen is helping him out, like trying to cope with it and everything like that.
Another big one I had was the one where they try to get to know Mr. Tasty.
Mr. Tasty is one of the top episodes, I think, for most people.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's regarded as a top fiver in the show.
Okay, I think I would agree with that, because they basically Mr. like summer hits, and this is one of those episodes where it doesn't feel like fall, and they really.
And sorry to stop. Keep that. Like, okay. Sean said, it makes you feel like fall. I think they really do a good job with the look of the of the camera and everything to depict either summer or fall, because it's basically, yeah, either summer or fall. I think in this
which
show,
which is the, yeah, best,
the best
seasons.
And in this one in particular, they put this like yellow orange,
yes,
tint to the footage,
yes,
to make it feel
and
hot.
You just feel it so hot. And it's like Mr. Tasty comes around and saves the day. And they try to get to know Mr. Tasty.
Blue Tornado Bars.
The Blue Tornado Bars. By the way, I was going to ask you guys if you could take one thing from the movie from the show, what would it be?
Mm.
Mine would be a Blue Tornado Bar.
Ooh,
why do they look so tasty? They look
really
amazing.
Good.
I want mom's plate.
You want mom's plate?
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's kind of morbid.
And her head on a plate now.
Yo.
I'll take Petunia, dude. I want that tattoo.
Yeah, that's, yeah. You guys are pretty fucked up.
Scalp, like cutting it off, yeah, of him to, like, put it on me.
Wow.
I want his tattoo.
Yeah. Oh, this is dark. But the episode is great, and like they're like putting up flyers, and because they basically drive Mr. Tasty out of town.
Yeah,
is what happens. Because
they try to get to know him.
By trying to get to know him, and he's like,
no,
it's like, no, like, no, I'm just your kids. I'm Mr. Tasty. These are popsicles. We just have to do our. This is all we do.
This is the exchange that's going to happen.
Right,
and that is it.
And he never takes off his ice cream head.
Nope.
Never takes off the ice cream.
Because it was Toby Huss.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was playing the character.
And again, it's like, it's one of those things that like, oh, they're going everywhere. They're sending out flyers across the country, and Artie is running around the world really quickly with a map. And it's just like, it's obnoxious, but I love it so much. It's, yeah, a great episode.
Another really good one from season two was the Time Tunnel. Did you guys watch Time Tunnel at all?
I did not.
It's kind of a deep episode. It's where Pete finally thinks he's going to ask out Ellen, and he thinks we're going to be more, right? And so it's weird how they intertwine all these stories. It might be my favorite episode. Little Pete is going to be a time traveler, because when the clocks get set back in the fall, he feels like he's traveling back in time. He gets to relive an hour.
Oh, okay.
Which is a really cool way to look, yeah, at it. Like, I don't look at it that way, and now I think I feel like I want to look at it that way. So it's this big deal to Little Pete, but Big Pete is more concerned with going to the movies with Ellen, and Endless Mike lends him his car and teaches him how to, like, put the seats back so you can make your move on her.
All the stupid
all the stupid shit. Fog the windows up. And so obviously it doesn't go well. Big Pete ruins it with Ellen, like ruins the friendship. But then little Pete comes to save day. He goes, Pete, remember, you get to relive this hour. You get to go back in time, fix your wrongs, and make this right. So then Big Pete and Ellen just make up and no big deal. It's just a really cool, awesome, magical way to look at things like that, you know?
And that's the thing with the writing of this, man. It's, it just, like I said, it with certain things, I'm like, oh, it's probably going to go this way, and it just takes a turn, and you don't realize. It's just like, that's so smart, and that's so sweet, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's so clever. It's such clever writing to just kind of twist your mind like that. Even today, like this show came out years and years ago, you know.
Yeah, long time ago.
Long time ago. And it's still years, it's still like, wow, that's crazy. Fresh. You know, that seems refreshing to me.
Yeah.
You know.
Last one I had to talk about, really. I mean, there's so many great episodes. You guys should obviously go look at them. But Sean, did you watch the Halloween one?
No, I didn't.
There's
Halloweenies or whatever.
Halloweeny. That's a really good Big Pete loses his Halloween spirit. And like little Pete is there and the rest of the cast is there to try to bring him back to get the Halloween spirit back.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which is a big deal. Obviously, me and you are big Halloween guys, and it got me immediately into the mood for Halloween this go, oh, this is so good.
Dude, I stopped at a Come and Go today, a gas station in Iowa, and they had their like trick-or-treat candy like station already put up. I'm like, what in the fuck is going on? But I'm still like, that's cool.
Cool.
There's one episode that I remember. There's a couple, like Inspector 34.
That's a great one.
That was a really good one. The guy who inspects underwear.
Yep.
And he's like a hero to little Pete.
He writes them every day.
What's the brand called? Kreb of the Loom.
So everything's Kreb. It's like this company that owns everything and makes is Kreb Star 2000. Kreb of the Loom. They're like the Amazon. They own everything.
Which is also cool about the show, too, because it's a fictional town, and everything's like, it's all just it's in its own world, and that's really cool about it.
Yeah.
I just thought that was a really cool, and he's like a hero, but he's like a perfectionist, so like, but it's like, it kind of gives you a little bit towards like some mental health stuff, even, I think. What's the one? There's one that is specifically a reference to Stand By Me, though.
Really?
Yeah, and it is I'm going to find this real quick.
Yeah,
because that's perfect for next week.
It's perfect because next week we're talking Stand By Me.
You bet.
There was also one called The Call, where the mysterious phone booth rings.
Yeah, it always rings.
It gives you it's just this weird mystical thing. This phone booth just rings, and everybody goes crazy from hearing it. And so finally, of course, someone actually answers it, and turns out it's a guy from high school that liked Mom. And didn't know how to contact her, so he just kept the phone ringing, hoping that she would walk by and answer the phone call. It's just like a really weird, cool, mystical story type thing, you know?
Yes. It's called The Good, The Bad, and The Lucky. It's an episode that is a parody of Stand By Me.
What?
And so I'll read it to you. Little Pete's lucky penny runs out of luck one day.
I remember that.
So he, Nona, Monica, and Wayne set out on a journey to recharge it by letting the Midnight Express run it over. Pitstain, Little Pete's arch nemesis, and his henchmen, Hairnet and Drawstring, catches on and tails them. And Pete is forced to battle Pitstain without the power of his lucky penny. Oh, and he's got to let it get run over by the... Did you guys ever do that?
I remember that. Yeah.
Crush pennies?
Yeah. And you set them on the train track, and it was super dangerous because they could shoot out and stuff. But
I was always nervous the train was going to derail, and it was my fault.
No kidding.
From a penny.
But I remember that one very distinctly. And I remember kind of feeling that reference to Stand By Me. It was pretty clear when he's at the train... at the train tracks and stuff and reaching for his penny so it doesn't get, but it gets run over.
Oh, cool.
And so, yeah.
Amazing.
Hell yeah.
Well, the final thoughts for me, honestly, this show completely stands the
test of time.
I had a long night last night. it was great storytelling. It's weird. It's unique. It's wonderful. It's extremely emotional. I actually read this somewhere. So it had the four elements, right? It was funny. It was sad. It was strange. It was beautiful. Mm. It just Maybe that's why the Polaris soundtrack means so much to me, is that it just puts me in a right frame of mind to think like, whatever, you know, like we're going to get through this. Things are going to be all right. We got this. We're going to handle it. Everything's going to be all right. We're going to move on to the next one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love the show.
For me, watching it for the first time and saying its praises throughout the show, I just can't say enough about it. It's kind of, I think it's going to become like my comfort show now.
Yeah.
Like it's just, I'm going to just go to bed watching a couple episodes or something like that. Like it feels so like a warm, like flannel in fall time to me. Like I love that about it. All the characters are so fucking good, and and I love how the whole town is in on it, mostly. Like even Stu the bus driver was just like
Stu Benedict,
an ancillary character who's just like is in almost every episode. Yeah. You know, that's so cool about it. It's a weird show, and I'm so glad I got to watch it for the first time.
Hell yeah, man!
Like I say, it just encapsulates so well of how your world was your world as a kid. Like, and that world was probably just, you rode the same way to school, you went to the same places, that was what your world was, and it was very almost linear for like what you did as a kid. And then you start to discover that things are not linear and you can break off.
Yeah.
And that's what this show is like all about to me. And I love the way it makes me feel. It's like what you said, Sean. It's like a flannel in fall or something. It's shot and reminds me a lot of like just like Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It feels and stuff. So I don't know. I love the show, and it was really, really fun to revisit the episodes that I did.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
If you want to buy my DVD set off me, current price is $1,000 apparently.
Got an eBay bidding war going on right now.
Otherwise, I don't think it's on any streaming devices, so I think you got a YouTube or you just got to try your best to find it. But we're glad you're here. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Next Wednesday, we're back to movies. We're tackling another quintessential kind of summer movie of the 80s.
Oh yeah,
because it is summer.
Yep,
we've got to enjoy it while we have it.
We're going. It's summer with the boys.
Stand By Me.
Yes.
So check that out. Make sure you get us on the Facebooks and all that, and the TikTokers. We've been getting a lot of hate lately.
Hey, all right,
because we don't say things correctly.
Yeah.
I said Robert Trujillo. With the bass player for Metallica, it's Robert Trujillo.
Trujillo.
Yeah, so I got a lot of hate on that one. So, I mean, just if you enjoy watching us just not only get tons of views and followers, but also just get shit on, join us on TikTok.
It's place to be.
I make sure to go and like all those comments.
I do too.
Yeah. I like to go back and forth with them when I can, when I find it, just to cause more bullshit.
Oh, it's so good. And of course, we got a voicemail. Leave us a voicemail, 319-804-9596. You guys want to tell them where to find you at? Yeah?
You can find me at SeanPryor237 on Instagram and TikTok, and get at me on Letterboxd if you are a nerd.
Letterboxd nerds.
Nerds, go find Sean. But you can find me anywhere, AJAYVENS, AJ Venz, anywhere on social media.
All I'm going to say is go to our website and buy some merch.
Hey,
yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
ConfusedBreakfast.com. We will see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.